now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and welcome to Shout Out. I'm Ali Shilton and back from a USA trip.
Yep, I'm Steffi Barnett. Today on the show, we're taking a closer look at the biggest festive season in the calendar.
Christmas is a great time for most, but not all. So we'll be talking to Second Step.
Plus books, the police, some music, and Andy talking too much.
Yeah, this is Shout Out. She meant you, Andy, not me.
Yes, of course. We're going to have to get used to that now. There's two Andys in the studio.
So, hello, Andy. Hello, Terry.
Hello. Hello.
How are you both?
Yeah, not bad.
Oh, good, good.
And hello.
That jingle's as tired as I am.
What jingle?
The one you just played.
Well, this one.
Yeah, you didn't do a doobie-doobie-doo.
Oh, right. No, that was
very disappointing.
I was doing my Andy joke instead. It's
one of our 75,000 listeners just fell over. What, no doobie-doobie-doo?
No, well, you know, Laura's claimed that these days.
She has. She's copyrighted it, I'm afraid, yes.
Yeah.
You've lost
I'll tell you what, I'll find a new one for the new year. Back in jingle. This thing.
Okay.
No, we have had that one for years, haven't we?
I thought
have.
We were going to stick with it until we were 10.
Well, we used to have the queerest folk
we
thing.
We did, I was going to say that when we first started.
So good.
It
maybe
is
we
really
should go
good.
Back to that for okay. the 10th anniversary.
Oh, very much so.
Well, I'll bring it next show.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Brilliant.
We'll mix it up. I'll see if I can find something different. Yeah. I like this one.
By the way, listeners, if you hear a bang like that, it's my head hitting it because I've fallen asleep.
We have got cattle prod in the corner to keep you awake, you know.
Yeah,
so straight off a plane from America, she's still
and
still
a day
here.
Late as well. It was cancelled, so it was like, how long have I been travelling now? I don't remember. 48 hours.
I'm amazed you were awake. To be honest,
you're doing very
I'm
well.
I'm not
Steph.
Awake.
Well, if she starts talking gibberish, you know why. But that's usually what happens on Shout Out anyway.
Steady. I'm not strong enough at the moment to kick ya.
So anyway, a lot's coming up on the show today. We're going to be catching up with Avon Somerset Police in a minute. And later on we're talking about books.
We've got the top 10
yeah,
LGBT books.
Number one is someone we know very well. So
we know all the stars.
And of course it's coming up for Christmas time. And for most of us it's a really good time of the year, but not for everybody.
That's right, yes.
And it is one of those occasions where mental health can become quite an issue for some people.
Yeah, so. It can be quite depressing.
It can be very depressing in certain circumstances, can't it? So, but the guys from Second Step are here, and we'll be talking to us about that later. But for now, shall we head over and catch up with the police?
Yeah, apologise for this one's just a week. Maybe 2 weeks late. I can't remember. There is 1 or 2 weeks.
Oh,
I've lost track of the time.
Good.
What month is it now?
Yeah. I think this was nearly 3 weeks late, if I'm actually honest.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. Never mind. It's here anyway.
Yeah.
If it'll play.
My five on Shout Out.
Good afternoon, this is Mike from Avon and Somerset Police, and I'm sitting in one of our local coffee shops today with...
It's Helen here, also one of the liaison officers.
So, as usual, we're just going to have a quick flick through our diaries and just update you as to what we've been up to over the last month and a few things that are coming up over the rest of November. Helen, so what have you... What have you got going on? What's been happening?
Well, we've been very busy, Mike. We've been attending the AGM of Brigstow, our HIV support charity in Bristol, and also the LGBT manifesto development work that Henry from Off the Record is involved with developing for us. We did that this week, and I was very happy to take part with Brigstow in the first HIV training that was delivered to our custody training staff this week.
Oh, wow. I mean, obviously we all remember remember the issues we had last year around the HIV status, particularly transmission via saliva, which and you saying you've been to one of the AGMs of one of our partner agencies. I've actually done the same thing this morning. Went over to Southmead, where I took part in the Southmead Project AGM. Southmead Project are one of our partner agencies within the network supporting male survivors, looking to deliver improved services for men and boys. So, yeah, literally just going through their achievements over the last 12 months, and obviously, as per every AGM, the perhaps less interesting stuff of their financial side of things. But as a flip side from that, we held internally one of our Change in Perception seminars last week, where we had some fantastic speakers, including two survivors now turned advocates. Some of our staff have actually been inspired not only by the speakers but by the concept of the event that they attended. And David Lean, who is a survivor of Barry Bennell, he is trying to create an awareness day, which I think is now in his second or third year, and it's basically a day to highlight child sexual abuse, and is where you can wear anything purple or just use the colour purple that day. So some staff in our comms department were inspired by his story, and they've chosen to elect Psychomy Project as one of their charity for December. So let's hope we raise some substantial money from our colleagues who choose to wear purple on that day.
Yeah, we'll be looking to publicise that as widely as possible to try and get as much money raised for Dr. Mike Pearce and the work he does there. So, running on from our HIV training, which sadly often comes because of mistakes and errors, but I'm very pleased to say that all the staff were very receptive and very grateful for the great stories and enlightening training that Brigstow were able to offer us. And there's a few of us from Brigstow are taking part in a 10K road race of all things on Sunday, Mike. So I'll be looking for some sponsorship from that. I'm not. I fully suspect I will be bringing up the rear of the race, and Andy will be streaking ahead of me in his Brigstow T-shirt. But we're giving it a go.
We're not always after cash. I will just emphasise that. Might sound it today, yeah, just rattling on because we are on a tight timeline here. Just strangely, obviously, just staying with the HIV theme within the Change of Perceptions, we had Terence Higgins Trust delivered an input around transmission of HIV, which again there was a lot of misunderstanding within the audience, and hopefully we have corrected some of those myths around transmission of HIV. In December, the Promote Project, or the Promote Project, is coming to an end this month, and there is a public event which is happening on the 10th of December. It is open to the public, and you can find further details on the Eventbrite website.
And we've also got a few more things to look forward to. We've got Trans Day of Remembrance with Trans Pride Southwest putting on a full day, a full few days of events to celebrate that, particularly on Saturday the 24th, where they're having an afternoon at the station, which is the old fire station opposite Bridewell Police Station in Bristol. And we've also got LGBT Bristol having their AGM on the 3rd of December at the Unitarian Chapel there in Brunswick Square.
And very quickly, on the 25th of November, I'll be heading over to Yate to support Diversity Trust with their Alphabet's Christmas event. So I will be there supporting Barclay.
If any of you are in Bristol on Tuesday the 20th, next week, at 12 o'clock, the Bristol City Council LGBT Staff Network have arranged for flag raising at College Green, and another event being organised by the Diversity Trust on Tuesday the 27th, which is taking part in South Gloss at Emerson's Green. If you check out Diversity Trust website, you'll be able to find details there.
If you have a story you could tell in 5 minutes, get in contact. Visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. There you go. That's Andra Day and Rise Up. Lovely song, that one.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Yeah. We almost always play like dancey fun stuff. I thought this time we go a little bit more mellow today.
Makes a change.
I picked a totally the wrong totally the wrong week to do it. I am going to end up putting you to sleep, aren't I?
But what a beautiful track. So. What a lovely voice Andra's got.
Yeah, it? Yeah. I won't lie, that was that age old, you know, oh, I heard that and I shazammed it and I was like, oh, I'll play that on Shout Out. So.
Yeah. Are other music capture apps available?
I don't know, if I'm honest. Okay. There may be, but okay. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah,
not that we're promoting one in particular.
Well, you know, community radio, you get away with a bit, don't you? So, anyway, joining us from Second Step is Michael. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Hi.
Now, of course, we wanted to kind of like start covering some of the stuff to do with Christmas and the like, because for a lot of us, it's a great fun time. And it's a, you know, for me personally, it's like it's a massive great family time. We always make sure we all get together, and there's usually far too much booze and food, and we all fall asleep and play silly party games and have a really good time. That's not the case for everyone, which is one of the things that we tend to cover most years on the show, and this year we thought it'd be really nice if we could get you guys in. You work for Second Step, don't you? Before we go and start talking about Christmas, give us an idea, what is Second Step? What do they do?
So Second Step, we put mental health first in Bristol, but also in the surrounding regions. And we focus on working people with mental health issues. And we have a significant lead in homelessness as well in Bristol.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. A big problem here in Bristol, I believe, isn't it?
Huge issue. And nationally, you've probably heard about the rough sleeping numbers going up around the country, and in particular in Bristol. So we have quite a major role in Bristol to try and tackle that.
Yeah. And I guess that's probably a very good reason why some people also are quite down at Christmas, especially if you're homeless, isn't it? But it's not just homelessness, I presume. I mean, you know, can you give us some kind of an idea of the kind of things that people tend to suffer with at Christmas time?
Yeah, well, let me start with a bit of a personal story, I guess, because I mean, I reflect with what you said about Christmas. For me, is quite a nice time and I enjoyed it, but still, as a gay guy growing up, Christmas felt very straight to me.
Right.
And I think for a lot of people in our community, we grow up with images of heterosexual couples. We don't see positive images of LGBTI out there, and we grow up with that, and that's quite difficult. So even though I grew up with a nice Christmas and I was surrounded by couples and people that are married and children, I also felt quite alienated.
Do you think that's changing though?
I do think it's changing.
An awful lot of adverts this year come out that have very, very inclusive.
It is, and I think there's different generations. So for my generation, I think that stayed with me, and that would be difficult for it to leave me. But yes, definitely, that image is changing, and we are seeing more images out there for the LGBTI community around Christmas.
Two of the biggest ones that spring to my mind are those whose families the individuals have been alienated from their families, yeah, because they're LGBTQ, and also pressure with money.
Yes,
that must be a big one, because the pressure's on. When people see presents being bought and the stuff in the shops, they feel that they need to go and load their card up, and then they've got the depression of having to, I think all of us are in that boat, of having to pay for Christmas for the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm. It's an awful pressure, and I would advise to try and turn that tide. I think it's something I've been doing with my friends and family for a long time, to try and turn it away from the commercial aspect and try and turn it into something more meaningful, because the debt that emerges, and that's with all of us. It's an impossible especially pressure to deal with.
Especially if you become a family that has kids as well, you know, which, of course, LGBT people do themselves now. Well, now they have done for a while. But kids can watch adverts on TV and they load the pressure onto the parents, and the parents can then quite often feel obligated that they should be trying to buy these expensive presents that seem to change every year, doesn't it? There's always something different in fashion. So
there's always something new to buy.
Are these the kind of examples of things that we see that affect mental health at Christmas? Are there ones we're not thinking of? Or?
Yeah, I mean, particularly in our organisation. So if we talk about homelessness, we do see a large population within the homeless community, being also from the LGBTI community. And it's really sad. And we do see people that have been rejected by families, and that's why they end up street homeless. And they come to organisations like Second Step and other organisations to get support from us. And Christmas is a really difficult time for them. And it's organisations like Second Step that play a role in trying to reincorporate them back into the community and try and give them meaning again around Christmas, which is something I think a lot of this community has lost.
Well, that was going to be my next question, because, if you're not homeless, but you've got some of the other issues we've been talking about, what kind of advice do you give people to try and help them manage, like, being depressed at Christmas or feeling down, etc.? I mean, is there things that they can do?
There's a whole plethora, and I guess the first thing I have to say is that we are all unique, and there are so many different approaches that we need to take to meet our own needs. So you've got to find the needs that are right for you. We know isolation kills physically and mentally, and isolation is a dreadful thing. So that's one thing I try and tackle. Now, you can't necessarily do that on your own, but if you are somebody... No,
I suppose what we could say is to people who are listening, if you know someone who is on their own at Christmas and you don't mind an extra dinner plate at the table, invite them.
Exactly. Talk to them. I mean, Bristol has a wonderful community. I'm from Birmingham myself. And although I love Birmingham, Bristol has something quite special about it in terms of community. And LGBTI, we have a fantastic community, but I think we need to use this more, because we need to bring people into that community, especially at times like Christmas, where there's heavy isolation.
Christmas Day can be quite a difficult one because so many places are shut.
There are, but there are quite a few services. I mean, particularly for the homeless population, there's quite a few services out there that are open. Happily give those details that you can put on your website. So there's services out there. I think we're doing a bit of a soup drive ourselves over Christmas, so it's recognizing there are times at the year where services are not open, and we need to make provision for these people that don't have access to services.
Do you find, because Christmas is obviously a religious period, and you've got the Salvation Army, which help, but they've been, in the past, they've not been very friendly to the LGBTQIA community. Yeah. Is there an issue, do you think, with, because a lot of people will turn to the church when or some sort of spiritual thing to give them solace and give them help. Do you feel that the LGBTQ community haven't got that because Christianity tends to push LGBTQIA people now, away?
Yeah, now there's a big question to answer. So I actually work in partnership with Salvation Army, and I think I've kind of battled this concern about religion in the past. I'm not religious myself, and perhaps have felt a sense of rejection from religion at times. But I do see organizations like that developing their views and really progressing themselves. So I think somewhere like the Salvation Army actually do some brilliant work in Bristol. I know there have been things that have happened in the past, but they really worked on their development around LGBTI. I think sometimes religion can be an obstacle, but I don't think it's necessarily the religion, because people are different and people hold religions differently. So I think we have to give that ownership to people if they're using religion incorrectly, rather than say it's the religion. But I think there's fantastic religious services out there as well that can help people.
And there are some that are purposely very pro-LGBT.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, so.
Do you find that you have any advice for anyone who's recently bereaved, who may be spending this as their first Christmas without their loved one or their partner?
Yeah, it must be so tough, and I've gone through that experience myself. There are lots of organisations that support with bereavement. There's lots of telephone lines that can support. There's the Samaritans, for example, and we've got to utilise our networks. It can be so easy to withdraw, and I ask those people, reach out to your networks and friends. And as you said earlier, if you know somebody that has been bereaved, then you've got to reach out to them, and let's bring this sense of community back.
I was going to say that that's probably some of the best advice. You know, if you've recently lost someone, the last thing you want to do is be on your own at Christmas. Yeah. You know, pick up the phone a friend, phone a family member, and you know, see if you can spend some time with them, because you know, it's also, if you've been through that kind of experience, it's nice to be around people who are happy.
Yes.
It can help you. I mean, you never forget, but it helps you have a bit of peace and just forget for a bit of time and enjoy Christmas.
Definitely. Distraction can be good, and I wouldn't say distract all the time, because at some point we do have to face it and we have to deal with it, but a bit of distraction is fantastic. And sometimes we don't want to reach out, and that's the people we've got to remember. That's a real hidden group.
Yeah.
If you are bereaved, for example, sometimes you might want to stay at home and not leave. And if that goes on for an extended period, that causes isolation. So it's the people around that person. You really need to watch out for each other. And if they're saying they're fine, they're okay, and they don't need support, keep pushing, because they might need it. They just might not need to admit it yet.
Yeah.
They often need help.
Sometimes it can take a while, can't it?
Yeah, it takes courage to be honest about it.
Listen, it's been lovely talking to you. And thank you for all the advice. I hope it helps a few people over the Christmas period. So if people want to find out more about what we've been talking about, or about Second Step, you guys are online, aren't you?
We are, yeah. Our website is second-step.co.uk. We also have a blog, which you can find through that. It's a WordPress blog. And we can put some resources. We'll give you some resources and some links after the show that you can put on your website.
Cool. I was going to say, like we always do, we'll make sure that we link from. So if you are listening to this on the podcast, or you want to know more after the live show, we will put it up on our page and link across too. But Michael, thank you very much for joining us.
Been my pleasure. Thank you.
And hope you have a good Christmas yourself.
So. I will do. And you guys. Thank you very much.
Stay with us. News headlines coming up next. You're listening to Shout Out.
The Shout Out Podcast.
That's Patty Griffin.
I was born ready. Were you born ready?
Heavenly Day.
Born ready for what?
You were born ready for what?
Yeah, aren't you born
Falling
ready?
Falling asleep, you.
Punch it. Maybe I have to do it with my head.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll try and find something a bit more upbeat. And, in fact, no, it's more fun poking you with a stick, to be fair.
That's twice in a row now I've nodded off.
So that's a lovely song, that one. Patty Griffin and Heavenly Day. So
very nice. Very mellow this evening, isn't it,
the music? Yeah, well,
exactly. He's doing it on purpose.
I genuinely didn't think about it when I picked the songs, I promise.
And when we started Shout Out all those years ago, the station manager at the time here at the home station, BCF, said, "You're not going to play gay music all the time, are you?" We were like, "What's gay music? Yeah. Like Tchaikovsky, that's gay music after all, you know."
But we should point out that that's not the current station manager.
No, indeed. No,
Pat Ricculus.
I said at the time. At the time.
Yeah, no, I do. And Jane was like, "Well, what is gay music?"
A bit of high energy.
Of course. We love high energy.
Yeah, it's sparked off quite a debate. So. Anyway, let's get some news headlines.
This is Shout Out News on Thursday, the 22nd of November.
BBC Radio Bristol reported yesterday that the local LGBTQ rugby team, the Bristol Bisons, are jubilant after team member Kenneth Macaria, who hails from Kenya originally, was given a reprieve from threatened deportation to a country where homosexuality is punishable by 14 years imprisonment. The BBC's Kenya correspondent confirmed to its news channel that Kenyan LGBTs are subject to routine harassment.
Mr. Macaria's case was publicised by the Bristol Bisons and won widespread support from the West Country LGBT community. His case was also taken up by James Heapy, the Conservative Member of Parliament for Wales. Heapy said that he was pleased that the deportation order had been overturned, but he warned that Mr. Macaria still had much work to do to be formally granted asylum in the UK.
Britain's oldest Jewish newspaper, the Jewish Chronicle, which is editorially supportive of LGBT Jews, said that the Jewish Orthodox Nursery is appealing a ruling that found it discriminated against a Jewish teacher it fired after learning she was living with her boyfriend. Zelda de Groen won a claim of religious and sexual discrimination against the Gan Mekum Nursery in Hendon at an employment tribunal last year after losing her job the year before. But in a one-day hearing, lawyers for the nursery argued that the original decision was incorrect. Watford Employment Tribunal original decision accepted that many Orthodox Jews regarded cohabitation before marriage as morally incorrect. It found that the nursery had not discriminated and therefore was discriminated. There was any occupational requirements for teachers to conform to its fundamentalist interpretation of the ancient religious texts. Mr. Groen is being supported by the Equality for Human Rights Commission. No one should be discriminated against because their employer does not share their particular religious views or beliefs, an EHRC spokesman said. Although involving a heterosexual teacher, LGBT legal experts will be watching the case closely. This is because religious fundamentalists of all faiths are frequently testing the laws that protect non-religious and gay people from their teachings. A victory for religious nursery in this case could open the legal doors for other ultra-conservative denominations to challenge equality's ruling.
The Trotskyist weekly newspaper, The Socialist Worker, which is sold on many street corners up and down the UK, reports that anti-fascist and anti-racist campaigners were in a jubilant mood on Merseyside after a far-right splinter group called the Frontline Patriots were beaten back by a large public demonstration. Called by the campaign group Unite Against Racism, the protest was joined by the Mayor of Liverpool, trades union and church groups, as well as long-standing LGBT activists. The far-right marchers were unable to move beyond the confines of Moore Street railway station. Socialist Worker paper said that concerted public demonstrations could beat back the far-right.
The role of gay and bisexual Asians in queer communities is too often invisible. But as Shoutout has found out in recent weeks, the traditions of gender and sexual non-conformity run deep within traditional Asian cultures. Chinese folk religions have celebrated their male lovers of the Emperor Ai, for example, in India, the government has granted recognition to the ancient population of Hiraji. Who have no direct translation in English but are somewhere between transgender people and intersex individuals. In its November issue, available now throughout the UK, Gay Times magazine celebrates the lives of what it calls Gaysians and their contribution to our shared LGBT heritage. The magazine is the oldest continuous gay running title in Britain and retails at £4.95 from all good newsagents and gay bookstores.
And finally, if you're planning on feasting this forthcoming Christmas season, then you might want to check out cruelty-free products that are on offer. After all, statistically speaking, LGBT people are more likely to be interested in vegetarianism, veganism, and ethical living issues. Well, the local veggie charity Viva, which has a long association with the gay press, is organising a pre-Christmas vegan fair at the University of Bristol Students' Union building on Queen's Road. The event opens at 10 a.m. on Saturday the 8th of December and admission is £3. You can expect a range of food and toiletries stalls plus animal rights groups and charities to be present.
For all these news stories and more, visit our website at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr
and Andy Hole.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
Right, Steph, pick one. One or two?
Two.
Okay.
The Shout Out Podcast.
For more information about Shout Out Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
There you go. That was from Monty Python, Spamalot. Oh. It's on Spamalot, and it's called Find Your Grail. if you couldn't tell.
Can you remember Monty Python?
Well, the stage show was quite recent, wasn't it?
Because you were in nappies then, weren't you?
No,
well, I'm not still in nappies, isn't he? Bless him.
Hang on, let me get a kettle prod.
Yes. And it wasn't Andy's fault, was it, that we lost the track? And
no, sorry, it did. I was moving
wasn't
something on
your
the computer
fault, was it, Andy?
And the mouse decided it was just going to click things randomly.
What do they say about bad workmen?
No, I think in fairness, it's
they blame their co-host. Yes,
real broom cupboard broadcasting. I like
because I fell asleep and hit the desk.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, that's not a bad excuse actually. So.
Monty
anyway,
Python, Monty Python. Books. That's going back, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, Spamalot was 2007.
Yes, you're right. So. I think Steph was referring to because the TV series started in 1969.
Yeah, mainly in the 70s, wasn't it?
Yeah, so. And carried on through the early 70s. Yeah.
It's very funny. Available on Netflix a whole lot at the moment.
And the late Graham Chapman, who was, you know, one of the Pythons, he was a supporter of the Gay Liberation Front, actually, in the early 70s. Yeah. Really part of their demos and protests.
My favourite Python has got to be Michael Palin. I love that man.
Yes, and he's gone round the world and pole to pole. And,
yeah, and the first one, his original, was the best. Round the world in 80 days. That was fantastic.
That, yeah. They still show that occasionally.
It is the Monty Python sketch with the Wathathin Mint, isn't it?
Wathathin Mint, yes, yeah. It is.
That's my favourite sketch, Chef. I think that's hilarious.
How about the dead parrot?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a good word too. Anyway, we should be talking about books at the moment, not books. Monty Python.
Thank
so.
You.
They wrote books.
They did.
Which you can order from any good bookshop. These are our LGBT
as you
books.
Can, these ones, yes.
Are always available from all good gay bookshops. The lovely list is produced by the great women's cooperative bookshop in Liverpool called News from Nowhere, which is online. They do a very swift turnaround mail order service, and they have a huge LGBT selection. So if you're ever popping in Liverpool, pop into number 96 Bold Street and say hi to the women that work there, and they do once a quarter for us the top LGBT books, and these are the top LGBT books that you might be finding in your Christmas stocking.
Drum roll.
At number 10 is Queer Africa, a collection of selected stories, a collection of unapologetic, tangled, tender, funny, bruising and brilliant stories, produced by the Gay and Lesbian Memory in Action Impress in South Africa. Number 9 is Boy Erased, a memoir of identity, faith and family by Gerard Conley. And number 8 is a lovely children's book, actually. I've got this for several of my friends with young children. And Tango Makes Three by Justin Richardson and Peter Parnell, illustrated by Henry Cole. It's about the gay penguins.
That's been in the news quite a lot, hasn't it?
Who adopted a chick which was rejected by its own parents, and they raised the chick together. Number 7, Bingo Love by T. Franklin, Jensen Ong and Joy San. It's a graphic novel based around the story of two women who met at a church bingo in 1963 and fell in love at first sight. Number 6 is Champions of Equality, Trade Unions and the LGBT Rights Movement in Britain by Peter Purton, who incidentally I've spoken to actually. He's a really nice bloke. He for many years was the Trade Union Congress LGBT officer, national one. Number 5, Now You See Me, Lesbian Life Stories, edited by Jane Trays. This is a collection of older lesbians talking about their lives and draws on a unique new archive of life stories with, in their own words, women from across the UK talking about a time when being lesbian meant hiding your true identity or paying the price for breaking society's rules. Number 4 is Transcripts by various authors, 10 exciting new writers challenging what we think we know. This comes out of an 8-week creative writing course for people in Liverpool who identify as trans or non-binary gender. Number 3 is Modern Nature, the journals of Derek Jarman, of course, the great HIV activist who died of an AIDS-related condition in 1994. He was a real supporter of Outrage and other LGBT action groups at the time. Number 2, She Called Me Woman, Nigeria's Queer Women Speak. This is
excuse me, edited by Azina Mohammed, Chitra Nagaranjan and Rafit Aliyu. I've been practicing those names all day. I hope I've done justice to them. This is a stirring and intimate collection, bringing together 30 narratives to paint a vivid portrait of what it means to be a queer Nigerian woman. And number one, and I'm personally very pleased to see this at number one.
I think we all are.
Because this person is, we know, a listener and a supporter of Shoutout and has written some excellent books on music. It's David Bowie, Made Me Gay, 100 Years of LGBT Music by Daryl W. Bullock. And this book, through exclusive new interviews and contemporary reports, pulls back the curtain on the colourful legacy that has shaped our musical and cultural landscape. It's all in there. Indie, punk rock, drag reviews, the whole gamut of 20th century LGBT music. Now, guys, which of those books would you like to find in your Christmas stocking?
I was first off going to say congratulations to Daryl for being number one.
He's top selling LGBT book, according to News From Nowhere, Friends Up in Liverpool.
That is. I'd like to read it just because I like Daryl and his other books are really good as well. I love this one about all the collections of music and stuff that he came in and talked to us about a few years ago.
Because he maintains a blog, doesn't he?
Yes, the world's worst records.
Worth visiting.
And it's his books are very good, and I have to say I've read David Bowie Made Me Gay. It made me laugh as well as cry. It's a really really good book. So,
But I think if I had to pick one, I'd love to read Untangle Makes Three.
Oh, it's a lovely
story
book.
Of the penguins.
I think that would be my choice as well. I don't. The David Bowie Made Me Gay. I read that one, like you, Andy, but I read it for the show because we were interviewing him about that particular book, so I had to read it to ask the questions.
But you liked it, didn't you?
I did like it, yes. But because I've read it, I'm going to choose something that I just love. That penguin story.
Oh, so sweet,
isn't it?
I think for me it would have to be Champions of Equality. I think because of the trade union aspect and because it's quite an interesting subject.
That's really interesting, isn't it? Because as you know, long-term listeners of the show and readers of LGBT politics will know the relationship between the trade union movement and the sort of wider labour movement and the left and LGBT politics hasn't always been the most friendly of things.
No.
You know, especially in the 70s when a lot of left-wing groups in Britain were supportive of countries like Cuba, which at the time was very persecutory to gay men and trans people in particular. So you know, it's really interesting to see how the trade union movement has come on and it's championed LGBT rights. And we always see Unite and Unison and Usdaw and other trade unions at Pride, and it's nice to see that.
It was actually due to the support of the gays and lesbians support the miners that the trade union movement accepted the LGBT community within its movement.
It was quite a turning point, wasn't it? And this is, I believe, why Labour was still so pro, well, still are.
That's right.
But and of course the movie Pride was all about it.
Yes,
indeed. Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And in 1985, the Labour Party adopted its first gay rights platform. You know, been a very patchy support before that, so that was a major political changing point.
Still, I mean, if you haven't seen the movie Pride, it's well worth seeing. It's a really good movie. It's got some classic lines in it,
And there's a book about it as well, isn't there? The script is available as well.
Oh, is it right? Cool. I wouldn't mind having a read of Modern Nature. The story about Derek Jarman.
I was going to say that one as well.
Because over the years we've interviewed lots of different people about the subject of HIV and the like, and we've also covered things like the survivor's guilt and stuff like that. You know, which is because there is a generation, especially men, just above, kind of like you and me, Terry, kind of like the next generation above us that was half wiped out.
I mean, there's still a lot of sort of grief and anger to be processed by, I think, by gay men of that generation and other groups as well, of course, you know, sex workers and IV drug users and so on and so forth, who are disproportionately impacted by, you know, HIV and AIDS in the early days. Yeah, I mean, Derek Jarman, really interesting character. His films used to get screened on Channel 4 a lot in the old days when they were really radical. And I think one of them's called Blue, and it's just a soundtrack, and the screen is just blue for the entire movie. But others are them of, you know, a real raucous celebration
of alternative and queer culture. And he, and as I mentioned when I was reading out the top 10, he was a supporter. You know, he put his money where his mouth is and went on actions with groups like ACT UP and then Outrage and you know, all those activist groups that sort of were about in the what they call the new queer activism of the early 1990s. Another book I thought I, you know, would might make a bit of a harrowing read but be really interesting is Gerard Connolly's book Boy Erased, a memoir of identity, faith and family. Because when he came out, or was rather outed to his parents, who were very conservative religious people, this is in the States, excuse me, he was forced to undergo a sort of religious-sponsored gay conversion therapy.
Oh,
now,
right.
In this country, those sorts of things are very marginal, fortunately. There's very few groups that do that.
Yes. But, I mean, if you recall, we even interviewed a guy who was given electric shock therapy here in Bristol.
We did, yeah. I mean, going back in time. But you see, in the States, there are still sort of, although the official mental health profession, you know, does agree that trying to change someone's sexuality or gender identity doesn't work and is counterproductive, but also these sort of religious groups are still active in America, saying, "Oh, we can pray away the gay."
Yeah, of course, that was made into a movie as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, there have been several actually adaptations of those sorts of stories. Mm. So that would be an interesting book.
Talking of praying away the gay, Indonesia news: there's a city that are trying to exorcise the gay out of people,
and there have been cases. Tragically, in this country, in London, and that, and it has popped up in the gay press once or twice, is some fringe, and I have to say they are very fringe fundamentalist cults, really, rather than churches, who have been trying to exorcise the gay demon out of gay men or the gender demon out of trans people.
Well, when we finish the show, really strange. When we finish the show, Terry, I think we should try it on Andy.
Yeah, Andy.
Yeah. Which one?
So yeah,
I like
so
having
these,
you here, mate.
So these things do happen, but there's absolutely these. Are, you know, it's a wonderful. You know, some great books to have this Christmas. And as I say, you can order them from all good bookstores. News from Nowhere up in Liverpool provide our list of books. They're available online. They do mail order service. There's also Gaze the Word, and
it's good to
like
support your local bookshop. I mean, Hydra is one of the big ones here, isn't it?
Hydra is Bristol's sort of alternative radical bookshop, number 34 Old Market Street. Down in Glastonbury, there's a lot of LGBT literature because there's a lot of great independent bookshops. So if you're listening on Glastonbury FM, there's Gothic Image, The Speaking Tree. I love shopping in Glastonbury, but that's just me. I'm an old hippie, you see. Thank you, guys.
Yes, my second choice, I'm going to be greedy. I would go for She Called Me Woman, Nigeria's Queer Women Speak. That seems very interesting, that one.
Yeah, that's number two, actually, on the charts. That's actually coming in really well. That's a book of 30 unique narratives, covering an array of experiences, including the joy and excitement of first love, lost love and betrayal, and the sometimes fraught relationship between sexuality and spirituality. Something we touched upon in our interview with Michael earlier on.
Yes,
as well.
So, absolutely.
Interesting, yeah.
Yep. So. Just before we disappear, we've got.
Sorry, I thought you were hubbing for a poke there.
No, I'm fine.
We're just warming up the
pack. We've got a real great, exciting segment. I'm really looking forward to this in the new year, and I'm hoping to get the woman involved, Saski, next week to give us a bit of a promo, what she's got lined up for the show. So I'm really excited about this because it's going to be bouncy, it's going to be forthright, and it's going to be like a verbal podcast of, well, I guess all podcasts are verbal.
Usually.
Yeah. Yes.
Or oral.
Yes.
Steph, I think
I'll go home to bed
sleep.
Now, and I will come back next Thursday.
So, yeah, like the last little bit that you've got to do is written down on a bit of paper for you where the jiggle starts. So
it is. Yeah. Now you see me, lesbian life stories edited by. Is that?
No, that's the wrong bit.
A wrong page. Okay.
Yeah. So 30 seconds to file it. So.
Okay. Yeah. So, and my glasses, so I can actually read it.
We're going a bit further down than Glastonbury now, aren't we?
Mid-Devon, yes.
Yeah, down at Tiverton Community Radio.
So, hello to all of you.
TCR.
Yes. Great station. They've got some really good shows. They've got an astronomy show, which really interests me because it's another of my interests.
My kids have TCR as well. There's a racing track thing. Scale Electric.
Scale Electric. I had Scale Electrics when I was young. I loved the thing. But I was forever smashing the cars because they just whizzed around and fell off the track, didn't they? So it just
They did. I remember that very well.
So anyway, that's it for this week. But with the festive season fast approaching, as you've heard on the show, if it isn't your thing or you think you need some help, there are loads of resources available to support you.
All the links are on our website along with the podcast of the show. If you want to listen again, just head over to shadowradio.lgbt.
Next week's rather special. Brixlow are taking over the show.
Yes, so. They are.
And hopefully Steph will have had some sleep by then. So anyway, from myself, Steph, Terry and Andy, say bye-bye everyone.
Bye-bye all.
Shout out
LGBT Radio for you.